Hello and welcome to the free recorded interview for Leaning Into Light. This is January 2018 and I am Jessica Rios, the founder of Leaning Into Light. So excited to be here with you today. And today our topic is top five communication and leadership skills for parents. Such an exciting topic for me, and I trust for all of you who are listening. I welcome a very, very well-respected person in the field to the call today. And before I welcome her, I just want to share a moment about the inspiration for this interview. I think I, and some of you will probably relate, or maybe many of you, before becoming a parent, I could only see how challenging it might be to really guide the growth of another human being. And then I became a parent and I, oh my word, just a whole new level of respect for all that it takes to truly parent well. Nobody parents perfectly. At the same time, there are some parents who really just have it going on. And I know they've got a lot of support in life. And I know people like our guest today are part of the reason parents have support and feel as able to do their jobs well. So props, high five to all the great parents out there, mamas and papas and others who work with children. And today I welcome Tina Marie Meyer. Hello, Tina.
Hello, Jessica.
Tina is a single mom to four kids. And I love that, Tina, that you value that so much and that you stand in honor in that role. You're also, Tina, a relationship expert and a parenting coach based in Vancouver, BC, up in Canada. And you work with parents and families, teachers, schools, children. So I'm so excited to be here with you today. Welcome to this interview.
Thank you. I am very excited to be here and sharing this time with you.
Fantastic. Okay, so let's dive in. First of all, I want to just kind of paint a big picture and get a sense, you know, from you and all the time you spent working with on behalf of the well-being of children. What makes the work of parenting so important? And I'm kind of getting at, you know, how does healthy parenting impact the world as a whole? How does it impact parents? How does it impact children? Why is it so important?
Such a huge question. Such a big, beautiful, important, huge question. And I guess my quick answer is, and you alluded to it, great relationships change everything. And as I say that, I just can feel the tingles in my body because it resonates so deeply. Mm-hmm. Great relationships change everything. When I think back to those moments in my life where I've been aware of the impact I've had on the people in my life that were really meaningful, it fills my heart with just so much love and joy. And so it seems that as I venture out into the world, wherever I land, that seems to be running me. Mm-hmm. Not only do I want to have that with others, I have a longing for supporting others and having that with others.
Mm. So the actual joy and the love, the quality of life that you've had enhanced through your relationships,
yes, has
made you feel so high, in essence, that you want to share that with the world and you want to support other people to have that.
Yes. And you know, for a really long time, I wasn't aware that that's what I was doing. And as I had my children struggling in the school system, trying to navigate the best ways forward for us as a family, we've tried many different modes of schooling, homeschooling, Waldorf, Montessori, private school, public schools, big schools, little schools. Mm. And when we landed in this democratic school about 10 years ago, there was a space that opened up for all of us to just really show up and be who we were. And it took us quite some time to understand what that meant. You know, there weren't bells telling us when it was break time. We could eat whenever we wanted. We could go to the bathroom whenever we wanted. And so I got to unfold in that environment as a co-active parent, as a parent participation person. And I just was building relationship with students and staff and educators. And a couple of years in, the administrator, the principal of the school came up to me and said, you know, we'd really like to hire you. Mm-hmm. I'm like, fabulous. So I started my work at the school as an education assistant. And then a year into that, she's like, this is wonderful work, what I see you doing. And I'd really like to bring it into more of the school. Could we hire you as the school's life coach? And it was in that moment, I remember sitting at this table, we were at the winter fair and it just came out of the blue and I could just feel my whole body wake up and go, right, this is what I do.
Oh my goodness. I just got like chills on my lower half and the chills came from just the vision of, you know, I'm seeing you up down from wherever people are listening to this interview. As the school's life coach, just imagine if every school had a life coach. My word. Wow.
Yes. Yes. It excites me very much to imagine that.
Mm. Phenomenal. So really the, you know, what I hear you saying is the gift of relationships, the power of being in relationship in a really empowering and uplifting way. Changes the world in a hugely positive way. And as you were giving your gifts in your children's school setting, you know, you were so darn good at it, frankly, that you got invited to do more. And here you are now sharing it so much more with the world. So what a beautiful example of stepping in to do what you love. And then, oh, this is actually what I do. Having it.
Yes. Actually help pay the bills. It's pretty neat.
Fantastic. So will you share a little bit, Tina, about what you've found parents and children are longing for? What's the dream or the vision that most parents seem to want between them and their children?
Oh, it's to feel seen, to be seen, to be heard, to feel connected. That is, to me, the base of being in a relationship with each other.
And so potent, so succinct, you know, those very few words you just said hold inside of them a lot of details.
Yeah.
A lot of love, a lot of things. But just tell me, can you draw from your memory of all the times you've worked with children or even with your own children? You know, a moment when you know a child has felt seen. They've done something, said something, and they've gone from maybe not feeling seen to feeling seen. Can you share that with us?
Whew, yes, I notice it's bringing up a lot of emotion for me. In my day-to-day work now, I get to do this a lot. And it's really fulfilling. And I guess what my answer is to this question is, it's different for everyone. Mm-hmm. I'm so surprised. I'm saying that. And it is. And so, you know, if I just go back to a couple of days ago, I was sitting in a classroom with a handful of youth and the connection that I have with them. And it's different for each of them because they're all so unique and different. So it's more of an energy thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Their energy shifts and they're not striving for something. They're not trying to find space to fill. They are just there. They're just present and they just know how to hold the space for everyone.
Mm. So it's really a quality of presence shift. It changes the way that they are showing up. It sounds pretty dramatic, actually.
It is. It's very powerful. Like I guess I love to go by experiences, share stories. And when I was first volunteering at the school, this democratic school, there was a room that was kind of empty. People weren't using it. It had a sink, it had a stove, a fridge, and a bunch of kitchen stuff. And so I started to go in there and cook, because I didn't know what else to do with myself. No one was telling me what to do and or how to do it. They just said, come and do stuff. So I just started to cook. And, you know, once the smell of chocolate chip cookies is running down the hall of the school, hard to peek the nose in. Sneaky, sneaky girl.
I know.
And it was just so fun to start to get to meet people through this inviting environment. Mm. And before I knew it, the classroom, if we were to call it that, was becoming filled with people who were curious. Curious about the smells, how they could possibly get some cookie, and what else was going to be created in this space. Mm. And through my using my favorite tools of listening and being curious, and one of my favorite improv activities called Yes And, I was able to share those ways of being with more and more and more youth that were coming into the space. And then the teachers were coming in, and then parents were coming in. And, you know, before I knew it, we had just this most wonderful jumble of chaos where different people were baking bread and cookies and curries and soups and figuring out how to share them with other people and how do we clean up the mess. And it was truly magic in that space. And then it started to spread out, you know, like when I first came to school, all the classroom doors were locked until people would inhabit them. And I made a choice to never lock this room. And people were worried that things would get stolen or taken. And it didn't happen, because I believe I was able to build relationship, which came back to seeing people and feeling them. That we had this understanding that this we created a safe space, and whatever needed to be in the space, there was space for that.
Yeah, you're it's like you built a container that was all about seeing each other, hearing each other, being connected, and it was a safe box, you know, a kitchen in a safe box. And nobody would want to violate that. So it really kind of protected itself, huh?
It totally did. And then it spread, right? Then it spread out into the whole school.
The scent of chocolate chip cookies and being seen spread out to the whole school. That sounds like a great school to go to. Yeah. I love it. Wonderful. And I notice you're already layering in your communication tools and leadership tools, and this is great. So I'm taking notes, because I want to learn all this from you and share it with all of our listeners. So, and I just want to share one quick little, you know, a story about my daughter from this evening. And so she's 4 years old. She's in a phase of, she loves scissors and loves to cut paper and other things, but we generally try to stick to paper. So tonight she received a Christmas card, and, you know, we're spending a year in Sweden. And so we receive a Christmas card from a friend in San Diego, California, and it's a drawing, and Helena, my daughter, wants to cut it up immediately. And I really want to teach her the value of when we receive art or a gift, we keep it intact for a little while, because that's how it was given. And we really want to honor the spirit of how the gift was given. So she's resisting cutting, and she's really there, and she's just self-disciplined, and, you know, and I just said, you really love to cut things up, and you're so good at it. She actually really has some skills, you know, cutting around things with scissors for a four-year-old. And she just instantly, and you know this as much as anyone, she just instantly felt so seen. Yep, I'm really good with scissors and I love to cut things. And it immediately made our connection stronger. And like you were painting, sort of just some of this excess went away, this excess stuff that gets in the way. And we were down to trust. We were down to really intimacy. And Tina, when you lay out the, you know, what parents are longing for is to feel seen, to be seen, to you know, with their children, to be heard and connected. It's really about intimacy and relationship and feeling, you know, connected and close to one another. So
beautiful. Oh, that is quite a lovely real life sharing. Yeah, like just that I make up that the energy in her really did shift.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Little scissor girl.
It reminds me of years back when I had my littles. I used to sew and oh my goodness, getting these beautiful kids different ways of cutting. I just kind of, not that you're asking.
Well,
not attached to it. But just getting like scraps of fabric and scissors, just, oh man, did my children and their friends love switching up, because you need kind of different scissors for paper versus fabric. And, you know, it shows a whole nother way of that world to them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, which you are effusively delighted in sharing about the joys of children and exploring children and discovering children. So I get it. That's why I wanted to have you here today, and it's wonderful. So I do know, Tina, that however practiced you might be at communicating with children, and I'm sure you mess up every day because we all do.
We do that. Yes,
yeah. Yeah.
Yes, we do.
And I also, I know that communication is the hardest part of relationship. It's not easy. And it does make a huge difference in our quality of life, our sense of being connected and satisfied in our relationships. So I want to start pointing us to give people. And so listeners, now is a good time to pull out your pen, or if you'd prefer using an app to record your voice, you know, to do a voice memo recording on a notes app or something, whatever. But it's time to take some notes. If you're finding this great stuff from Tina to be of value. So we're going to start diving into more of the tools. And just for a moment here, because I know some people may need to sign off earlier, I want to take a moment, Tina, to give people your website in case they want to find out more about your work. And let me know if this is right. It's www.tinamariemeyer.com. And is that it?
That's it.
Okay. So it's Tina, T-I-N-A, Marie, M-A-R-I-E. Meyer is M-E-Y-E-R.com. So we are going to dive into, let's see, we're going to look at some of the top skills that you've found. And I know this is probably not easy because you have so many skills and there are so many great skills to use with children. Do you want to start with communication or leadership?
Oh, what a fabulous. I love the options. Thank you. This is so great. I think it would be really sweet to start with leadership.
Okay, fantastic. So in your experience with children and with people, adults who work with children, parents or educators, let's start rolling down the leadership tools. What's the top one you've found, or what's a top one?
Okay, here we go. Okay. This is what I say. This is the answer to everything. And my hands are up in the air and I'm pulling them down.
Yeah.
Very physical. This is the answer to everything. Okay. It is doing our own personal work.
Mm-hmm.
That has absolutely, yeah, you get that, right?
Totally agree. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's not really that easy.
No.
I mean, like, it's just everywhere we go and turn, there is an opportunity to do our work. It could be a full-time job. And, you know, we have kids, we have meals, we have laundry, we have partners, we have jobs. So doing our own personal work, definitely, I'm in my 50s now, has been a lifelong journey. And I would say it started back in my teens when I was gifted this beautiful woman named Avril, one of my dad's lovely girlfriends over the years. And I was an angsty teenager, struggling emotionally. And she would, every Sunday, when we would go to Grandma and Grandpa's for Sunday night dinner, sit with me in my dad's car in the driveway and just listen. And listen and listen and get curious and listen. And the fact that I was able to just be myself in that environment on a consistent basis opened me up to doing my personal work. And then all the adversity that shows up in my life and still shows up in my life is also more opportunities to do my personal work.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just so grateful for the people that I've sort of stumbled into, heard about, the opportunities that were presented to me. And I was fortunate enough to be able to say yes, or broken down enough, broken open enough to have to say yes, to receive the support that, that clearly I needed at the times.
Yeah. Yep. Sounds like Avel was a very significant person in your life. And just, this is such a big topic. Like you said, it could be a full-time job to just do our own personal work. So for the sake of putting this into something really edible,
tangible, yes,
bite-sized that listeners can take, you know, what...
I have a tool.
Great. Great.
So I'm not sure if you've heard of Marshall Rosenberg.
Yes.
A lot of people call it nonviolent communication. Many people call it compassionate communication. When I stumbled into his work, it really opened up. So it gave a language to what I was doing in life. And it helped me own what I was doing in life and who I was being in life. And through his work, I've learned to connect in with myself more and more and more. So I've created these feelings and needs sheets that are on my website, and you could go online and print them off.
Excellent.
And use them. Under blogs. I think I've got three whole blogs in there, and it's one of them. And so what I do is, on a regular basis, like maybe even first thing in the morning, I will go into the feelings lists and the body sensation lists, and I will check in with myself. So where I'm leading is, if I'm aware of what's going on inside me, then I believe I have the capacity to hold the, what's going on inside those around me.
Excellent. So, it's a huge amount of personal responsibility you're taking for the experience you have and the world you create. And it's really on a level of, I'm not putting you on a pedestal here. I hope that's not what you get, but it's nobility. It's really where I believe all humans should be standing, in the place of true honor that you're in, where you start your day checking in with yourself so that the world you create when you walk out that door isn't being made from a half empty tank. You're filling up your own tank. Huge, beautiful, taking responsibility. So I'm going to repeat that for listeners. It's on Tina Marie's website, which is tinamariemeyer.com. And then if you go onto her blogs, one of them is on feelings and needs, and there's sheets there that you can fill out. You can start your day like she does that way, or you can use them some other way, but a free resource. Excellent.
Mm-hmm. What I chose to do was, I printed them off and had them laminated. So I use like a whiteboard pen, and I go and I just run down the sheets. Cause you know, I was in a MVC workshop I remember the first time we brought them into our school, and all the educators were in a workshop with people representing Marshall Rosenberg's work. And they wanted us to check in with how we were feeling. And I remember going, what do you mean? How am I feeling? Well, they wanted us to use a word or two or three to share our feelings. And I just got flooded with overwhelm and uncertainty. And then they went, oh, we could, and then they had all these words laminated, different colors, and they laid them out in a circle in front of us, in a smaller circle. And I just went, oh, all of these words, I get to pick and choose what I could be feeling. So for me, that's why I love these handouts, and that's why I've laminated them, because I use them so much that, and every day is different. Every minute can be different with what I'm feeling. Because once I've acknowledged what I'm feeling, it can shift. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so powerful to give ourselves these tools to experience them. And then it gives us a language to bring with our, children too.
Yes. Yes. Excellent. And setting such a beautiful example for them, how to, one way to take care of themselves. So again, under the leadership category here, where this call is on top five communication and leadership skills for parents. So we've got one under leadership so far, and that is doing our own personal work. And Tina Marie, you've shared some great, a great resource and some great information on that. So let's go to, do you have another one under leadership? I know that's the big.
Yeah, it's big. And this is, I mean, I could talk about this forever, and I chose two in total. And the first one we've just gone over. The second one that I really want to bring to light right now, it's a very simple book, and it's called Coactive Leadership, Five Ways to Lead. And the authors are Karen and Henry Kimsey House, and they are also the co-founders of CTI, the Coaches Training Institute, where I was trained to be a life coach.
And okay.
Just
again, co-active leadership. So that's like co-active leadership.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Five Ways to Lead. Mm-hmm. And I have had this book in my world for a couple of years. I've been using it with clients. And a few weeks ago, I was gifted this opportunity to actually be in a three-day workshop with Karen and Cynthia Lloyd-Darst, who are fabulous co-facilitators. So I just am noticing how much more I've been using this way of being in my day-to-day life, and definitely with my children, with my ex-husband, with my mother, mm-hmm. with my neighbor, who, you know, we don't always see eye to eye. I've been finding that this way of being in the world shows up everywhere. So should I just give the little tidbits?
You mean the five ways? Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a quick overview, and then you guys can look up the book if you want.
Yep.
Easily accessed online. So the coactive leader within, that's the first and foremost place. And that kind of also speaks to doing your own personal work, right? Mm-hmm. So the first place to lead from is within. If we can connect in and be grounded and lead from this place, then we've got it covered. Mm. And really we need to, I would say this is the first place to learn all the other places from. So that's number one. Number two is leader at the front. And this is often what we're used to when we think of leadership. We think, oh, it's the person up at the front of the room, or it's the person who's the boss. It's the person who does a lot of the talking. Which is often the case. And what I want to share that I've learned from this book is there's also a leader beside. So there's a person who is leading from the side. So if we had a leader in front, like say my administrator of my school, she hired me to be her life coach. So very often I'm beside her, supporting her in being the leader in front. I'm still in a leadership role. I still have to pay attention to my actions and the way in which I'm holding myself, leader beside. There's also the third way. So I've done the leader within, leader from the front, leader from the side. So I guess the fourth way is leader from behind. Hmm. And I would say that this is a way in which, I think of really being a leader in relationship with my with my kids. I am all these different roles with my kids, and they are also taking on many of these different roles of leadership coactively with me. Leader behind is sort of like the cheerleader. Often when I'm a coach, I move into that role too. It's what do I need from behind to support the leader in front? Mm. And then there's leader in the field, the fifth and final. And that is sort of, how do I say that? It's taking everything into account and working from that space. So.
Excellent. I love the headings, and it gives a feel for what people might get if they choose to dive into the book. And I assume that this book is accessible. It's something
yes.
that you don't have to have coach training for or anything like that. You can just, parents can pick this up and get great yes. tools for their.
Yes. And I've used it with parents, with youth, and with small business owners.
Excellent.
It's fabulous for great. All of us.
Great. Wonderful. So we've got two great tools under leadership, doing our own personal work, and then a book, Coactive Leadership by Karen and Henry Kimsey House. Is that right?
Yes.
Fantastic. Thank you for sharing those two tools. So up to you. This is top five communication and leadership skills for parents. Are you going to do three in leadership, or are you ready to move into communication?
I am ready to move into communication.
Excellent. So you've already shared some as we've been talking. I've been hearing them trickle through. And take us where you want to take us. What's the first communication tool?
Well, my first and foremost favorite is listening levels.
Listening levels.
Yes, there are three levels of listening. And when I share this with anyone, I remember doing this with my mom, my sister and I, my mom, were at a workshop. We were standing in a lineup and I'm sharing something and my mom jumps in and my sister's like, "Mom, that was really rude." And I, you know, it was pretty funny. I said, "Hey, Mom, would you be interested in learning this listening tool?" And she kind of caught herself and went, sure. And it was really fun. I introduced the three levels of listening, and then I asked her to do an activity with me. And it was pretty profound, and I've noticed a huge difference since then. So that is the first listening levels. I'll just set them up, and then we can decide if we want to jump into what they are. So that's my first tool for communication. My second tool is being curious.
Mm.
It is super powerful. Curiosity, right, is one of the core life coaching tools that we use. It often can take the form of a powerful question. It is, I'm trying to feel into it. It is big, right?
It is big. And I just, what's funny is children are masters of it.
Yes.
They're so
yes.
curious.
They yeah. are so curious. And that has me want to throw out one of my favorite statements with raising children is follow their lead.
Mm.
So that's so great that you brought this together, because often we can get all caught up with, well, how do I use this tool that I learned on this with? I was like, your kids are naturally curious. Just follow their lead.
Mm. So beautiful.
So
yep.
Wonderful.
Right there.
Right
there.
Right there. Boom. We've done it. The third favorite activity that I have, it's an activity, way of being, communication tool. It's called Yes And.
Mm.
Yes, but we often use, yes, love your idea, but, and this sees the limitations. Yes And sees the possibilities,
mm.
but separates and joins. And we live in a society that is so well trained to say yes, but. We are more conditioned to see the limits than the possibilities. And saying yes is like huge. It's so respectful. It's respecting yourself and someone else's ideas, feelings, circumstances.
I was starting to wonder why yes and, you know, I've kind of seen it like several different places in the last several years. I'm like, what? You know, when something starts to get a little cliche, it's probably because it's pretty valuable.
Yes. I love Yes And. Mm. It is one of my favorite, and it's so fun doing with doing as an activity with youth and adults, just watching the adults sort of crack themselves open to play.
Yeah. And you know, any of these tools, like any of these tools, yes, and could be awkward at first because we're so used to butting. We're so used to saying but.
Yes.
So Tina, I know that we could tap your brain for so long going on in detail about these tools and all your experiences. That's just so profoundly valuable what you're sharing. And I just want to point people, if they want to get in touch with you, they can go to your website, tinamariemeyer.com, and get more information, get in touch with you. And as we move in this crazy time on earth to lean into light more profoundly every day, to lean into light, I just want to thank you so much for your really, really obvious dedication to making the world a better place through working with children. So are there any other last minute resources you want to share?
Yes. I was just talking about remembering to play, cracking our adults open and reminding them of the fun they can have. There's a local fellow here in Vancouver. His name is Vince Gauman. VinceGauman.com. He has a website called Remembering to Play, and he works with a lot of youth educators and has a wonderful way to open up different perspectives around communicating with kids and how to also do our own personal work in order to be in relationship with the youth in our life. So I highly recommend signing up for his, I think they come out on Mondays, his articles. And it's vincegauman.com, VinceGauman.com. And that's Remembering to Play. He's a local man here in Vancouver. A colleague I get to hang out with. Love it.
Wonderful.
And the other fellow, his name is Scott Noel, and he has a website called thedailygroove.com. And he offers a different kind of support for parents is how he promotes it. And he has, it's a daily short affirmation. And it, he started about 10 years ago, and I've been following him as he's morphed into different ways of, supporting parents, and highly, highly recommend it. I love his approach and the way he holds, us as parents in relationship with our youth. And then the final one I want to share is my online parenting workshop. So I get to bring these tools to light and to an experiential way with parents. I call it the Parent as Coach, and all the information for that is online, and we get to do some fun activities to lock in these new ways of being.
Yes. And this is you have to go to Canada for this, or this is
Well, gosh, I'd love to have you come and visit. We do them in person and I also am offering them online. So,
super.
That works too.
Very cool. Okay. So VinceGauman.com, Remembering to Play, the Language of Children, and Scott Noel, thedailygroove.com, short affirmations, and then your parenting workshop. Yes, absolutely. I want to take a parenting workshop with you one day. So great. That's at tinamariemeyer.com. And so just to give a little bit of like the pinch, like the ouch, which we all feel the ouch, you know, the, oh God, this is hard with parenting when we're really in it. But just to bring it into the call here today, just one common communication challenge. What do you see that we want to, maybe just in this moment while we're here together, Tina, and while we're listening, while we've got listeners from all over the world on this, you know, listening, soaking up your wisdom and your enthusiasm for children, maybe we can send a little love to one challenge. What would be the challenge that you would see wanting to send our love to in this moment?
It, you know, what comes back for me is the listening piece. Well, often we listen to share, and this different approach is listen to receive. And it's powerful, and it's a whole different way of being in relationship, because I make up. Our education system kind of helps us figure out we need to have the right answer. We need to look good. We need to do well. And so I know that when I'm listening to people and I'm really tired and I'm not in my level one listening, I am listening to what they're saying with already an answer ready. When they stop talking, I'm going to put my answer in place. I already know how to fix their problem. I just wish they'd stop talking so I can share it with them. And, you know, it's not done out of, I'm better than they are, or I think it's just the way our brains, those grooves in our brains have been created. And so there's a way in which that's level one listening, where we're listening for ourselves. Level two listening is listening for the other. And this is a space that is so sweet that we actually practice emptying our brain from any thoughts that come in around ourselves when someone else is talking. And we listen so hard that the only words in our brain are the words coming out of their mouths as they're coming out of their mouths. Mm-hmm. And it's powerful. And it's like my brain hurts when I think about it. And then when I do it, I go, oh, that's it. Level two listening is like a form of loving. People really feel loved when they're listened to in level two listening.
Hmm. Yeah. Goodness gracious. So good. Just as I put on a little bit of a level two hat listening to you, I'm like, oh, I just noticed I'm kind of like, I don't have anything to say now. I just heard your words, you know?
Yeah. And guess what? Right now, I've got tingles all over my body because you helped hold that space for what I had to say. You let it land and you repeated it back to me. So I felt really heard, and I'm just like, oh, this is my nirvana.
We're doing little dances, right? You're in Canada, yes. I'm in Sweden. We're like, yeah,
yeah.
Uh-huh,
uh-huh. Yeah, we got it.
So great. So huge compassion coming from you and from me for all the parents in the world and all the moments, the hundreds of thousands of millions of billions of moments on this planet every day when listening feels hard and we just want to put our words in and not really listen. And that is not easy. And there are tools to support us to get better at listening, and they feel so good. So thank you for sharing those. And I just want to bring in your babies, your four babies that you brought into this world, and honor them for a moment here because they have shaped you in more ways than anything else on this planet.
It's my favorite thing. And I just have to say, my four babies are 17, 22, 23, and 25.
You'd never know it by the sound of your voice.
Oh, you're so kind.
Fantastic. So you can write three novels about this. And what we want here is, what have you learned from your children? Just your children. What if they...
what have they taught you? They have taught me how to love in a way that I never thought possible. They have opened my heart up and my capacity for change, chaos, connection. Really, if I think of anything that's helped me grow as a human being on this planet, it is being in love with my children. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Tina, it shows, because when we were talking, as any two people talk, when somebody's going to interview somebody else, it's like, hey, how do you want to be introduced? And what do we want to focus on? You know, we do those things, right? Mm-hmm. And the first thing you said was, well, most important to me is that I'm a single mom to four kids. Mm-hmm. You named your children first. And you named your role as a mother and as their co-leader first. And that really shows your actions. Your words really show how much you value them. And it's obvious that you value all children. So it's really a profound honor to be with you. I really believe that working with children and honestly letting children work us is yes. The hardest and most meaningful, beautiful work in the world. And one thing I've said once is, you know, children are the original gurus. We don't have to pay them for deep spiritual wisdom.
And guidance. It's right here. Yes. Oh my God.
You know, my 4-year-old daughter just walked in the room and handed me a white ribbon with red polka dots. And it's like, oh, in delight anyone?
So beautiful. You've shared a lot of resources on this call. I hope that listeners, that you've had a chance to take notes. And if not, you can go back and listen again. These are free monthly recordings. And Tina, you know, with Leaning into Light, the real purpose of it is to illuminate the beauty of the human spirit. And each human being is truly so beautiful. And I choose one person every month to highlight the work that you're doing, the beauty you bring to the world, the power, the courage. And it's just an incredible honor to be here with you and to have you to share with the Leaning to Light audience. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. It was truly a pleasure.
And for listeners, I want to remind you of the way to get in touch with Tina Marie. If you would like to, you just go to her website at tinamariemeyer.com. She's located in Vancouver, BC, and her love reaches all over the world. So you can reach her there and find out more about any of her resources that she's recommended. There have been many. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back next month. That will be February with another free recording. I am Jessica Rios, and it has been such a pleasure to be with you here today. Have a good one.